What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another dope episode of Creative Conversations, where two artists get together and just shoot the shit for a little bit. You can find this podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So do me a favor. When you look it up, you see my pretty face, go ahead and hit that like button and also give it 5 stars so we can bump these conversations up in the algorithm. Tonight, we have a very special guest. This young man takes nostalgia and just amplifies it in the way that once you get to see his work, you really get a chance to kind of feel that warmth as a kid or even as an adult, and at the same time get to experience what he has to show you with his art style. Give it up for my homie Renardo, aka Raw. How you doing, man?
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you, man, and thank you for the nice intro. Appreciate that, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. I came across your work maybe, I want to say, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Okay. And I was just on Instagram scrolling, and then I saw it was like The Crew.
Yeah.
And I was I'm looking at the Codename Kid Next Door and Hey Arnold. And I'm sitting here like, okay, hold on. This dude is kind of nice. So I posted you on my story.
Oh, dope.
And then I saw you checked it out. So I was I got to hit him up and see if I can get him on the show, because I know he's busy creating this art. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I'm plugged in, bro. I'm plugged in.
Oh, for sure. So before we get started, do me a quick favor and tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is William Walker. You know, Renardo is actually my middle name.
All right. Okay.
So I'm originally from Arkansas, born in Arkansas, you know what I'm saying? But moved to North Carolina when I was about 10 or 11, you know?
Okay.
And just been doing my thing ever since, man.
Yeah. I feel it, man. I feel it. I definitely have a respect for your art, because I got a chance to really, like, scroll a bit to really, like, get a sense of your growth. And when I tell you from, I'm talking about, you made it a point to show us your growth from using your backgrounds and how to implement that into your art, into your shading and your contrast to really make your art pop. So I'm seeing that growth now. And when I tell you, that visual is crazy. But let me not get hyped. Let's get back on track here.
Definitely.
First question I have for you, man. As artists, I'm a photographer myself. We definitely get deep into our art. We have roots in our art from people before us. And with that, we gain a lot of perspective from the different people who basically inspire us. So tell me a little bit about what your art means to you.
Okay, so my art is, the meaning behind it is just to be able to express myself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, art has always been almost like a cheat code. You know what I'm saying? Like a way out of anything that I was ever involved in that was negative. I could always run to my art. So it's like my therapy, honestly.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, I definitely use art as an escape. You know what I mean? So when it comes to my photography, when it comes to music, even the show, it's definitely a way to kind of break away from real life and just be in your own bubble, so that way you can express yourself fully without any type of prejudice. You know what I mean?
Exactly, man. It's amazing to get, you know, immersed in the creativity of it all. Mm-hmm. You know, what I try to do a lot of times is I just started learning how to do this, but allowing my creativity to take control. You know what I'm saying? Just let it loose and see what, you know, comes out of that. And it's been some amazing stuff. So,
So you just basically just said, let me just see what's within.
Yeah.
And then just bring it right out. So no kind of blueprint. You just basically just go with the flow with your art.
Oh man.
Well, I know I can say that that's definitely a true gift, because we are so, as people, analytical. So we have to make sure, like, we have some sort of source, like, okay, I want to do this art like this person, or I want to sing like this person, versus you, where you come through and say, hey, I just love it, I want to try it, and whatever happens, happens. And then we get to see that true result of true art, you know what I mean? So I can definitely appreciate your style.
Definitely. Yes, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man. So I see a great deal, but I want you to kind of break it down for me, from music Kanye West to Hey Arnold to Codename Kids Next Door, like I said before. I mean, what definitely inspires you to go that route when it comes to expressing your art form?
Well, all right. So my parents was really heavy in like music, right? And
sure.
It got me heavy into music. And I'm kind of like in the 80s and 90s, right? So
yeah,
I feel like that vibe, you know, I feel like there was like some of the best moments, you know, in the 90s. Like that was just like, you know, to be a kid and to watch these amazing cartoons and amazing shows with the music, you know what I'm saying? And it was just a perfect like chemistry. So I didn't see enough of that, you know, now. And, you know, you know how the world is right now. It's really negative. And so I went in my little cocoon and, you know, I just reached into when I was a child. And I was listening to, like, you know, Tupac and Biggie, you know what I'm saying? And just these classic musicians and these classic cartoons that I grew up watching and love. So I just wanted to marry them together. So
I feel that, man. There's one particular group that I noticed a great deal in your art, and that's Wu-Tang Clan. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, all right. Yeah. So, honestly, the Wu-Tang Clan kind of made all of this kind of happen, honestly, because so I was watching the Wu-Tang on Hulu. They did the documentary.
Yeah.
And I've been a really big Wu-Tang fan ever since I was young, ever since they came out. I liked how together they were, and I liked how big of a group they were, but I also liked like the spiritual kind of aspect that they had involved in them, you know, the yin and the yang kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like that kind of spoke to me too. And, when I found that they had a show on Hulu, I started watching it and I saw like an ad and it had all of the actors just like in the same pose as the actual, one of the first albums. So I was like, oh my God, I gotta do this. And what I did is I drew the actors exactly like I saw them, but I did them in the kind of like a Boondocks kind of anime style because
I get a lot of my inspiration
from Boondocks. So I tagged the actors, and then they ended up, a lot of them ended up resharing it, like the one that plays, who is he? He plays ODB. TJ, yeah, he ended up sharing it, and then Wu-Tang Brand ended up sharing it on their page, and then that's kind of what got the movement, and that's when I saw that I could actually reach you know, my kind of idols and stuff, you know, through my art.
So what's crazy about that, it's like you never know like what your art can do for you and what it can do for other people. So for you to be like, let me just post this. This is super dope. I love Wu-Tang. I see it on Hulu. I see an ad with everybody. Let me just post it. And now they're like, oh, this is dope. Let me post it on mine.
Yeah.
And the Wu-Tang brand's like, let me go ahead and show what's up. So that can definitely be a push to continue.
Because actually the Wu-Tang, one of the execs reached out to me. And, you know, we had been in talks about possibly doing some projects in the future. So you just never know sometimes when you do things like what it can evolve into.
Well, I'm definitely praying that it evolves into something astronomical for you, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if this like, you know, you've been on the show, it's cool, and then you just blow up, Shuwei, as Jamie Foxx said on his show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You blow up, Shuwei, and I'm like, I see his work.
He's one of my favorite artists as well, Jamie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Huge inspiration.
Man, there was going back into the 90s because we both shared that timeline. I was watching the Jamie Foxx show and the color, different things like that.
Oh, my God.
And I just remember some of like the key moments of that show, but I also remember very, very small things that made it so great. So when I relive my childhood in my head, I just think about those moments. One of them, outside of like when he did How Does It Feel, like the El D'Angelo thing with them braids and all that.
That
was hilarious.
That was hilarious.
there was one episode where he was sick and Fancy had to take care of him. And he wanted her to get him some orange juice. And he was like, yo, can you give me some freshly squozen orange juice? Yeah. And she was like, squeeze. He was like, no, squozen. Squozen.
Yes, he is so talented, man. He is so talented.
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. He's definitely been doing this thing for a minute. And you're about to be up there. You never know what your artwork can definitely bring you. So you might be able to have a sit down with him.
I appreciate that. That would be
dope. So, going back into the creation process, I know you said you pretty much found it within yourself to just do it and then just see what comes out of it. But I know that as artists, you do run into challenges creatively, spiritually, emotionally. So, you know, whatever you're comfortable with in this point, what type of challenges have you run into in order to get you to this successful point now?
Oh, my God. Okay. So when I was first doing it, you know, I love my art really grew with realistic pictures, right? So if you go far back enough, you'll see realistic pictures and you won't see many cartoons. Even though I had that in my bag, I was doing realistic pictures, right?
Yeah.
So what had happened was once I was doing these like realistic pictures, it wasn't really like getting any kind of push. You know, and I think it was because I was a small account. You know, I was trying to reach a broad audience. But I was like, well, how can I connect with these people? How can I connect with everybody? So I was like, well, let me pivot and let me try to do some things that resonate with me that possibly resonate with everybody else. So that's kind of when I started kind of drawing cartoons and drawing realistic people as like my like anime style Boondocks kind of characters, okay, and it kind of evolved also into the crew or Gerald and and Penny, you know?
I wanted to touch on that one, touch on them, because with that, you definitely, that's what caught my eye. It was Gerald and Penny in the hallway. And then I went back to look at your work again. And then I saw the one where she had her leg up and then I saw the inspiration. And that's when I was like, yo,
Nipsey,
like Dwayne and Whitley.
Yeah.
In that same that pose. One too. Yeah.
Yes.
So we had that. We had the Nipsey one. I mean, you definitely married the two, like you said, very well, to where you hit us with nostalgia twice.
Yeah.
And well, No,
a lot of the shows that I picked from, I grew up watching, you know, like Different World, you know, and I feel like we don't have amazing shows out there like that anymore.
True.
The representation of a strong Black family and just and strong morals and stuff. So I definitely wanted to incorporate that into my work.
Nah, for sure. That's very true. We definitely don't have the strong Black lead daytime TV anymore. We definitely have some people who are doing their best to represent us in a way, like Abbott Elementary. You know what I mean? We have that. We have Grand Crew, which got their second season. So I love those particular shows because we're represented really well. Though we can definitely relate to it, it's definitely not pandering towards us like, oh, you know, Black people like X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, you just get to hang out with the homies and we kind of laugh at the background jokes of what we experience with them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes, definitely.
So let me ask the crew. The crew is super dope because, I mean, you've done many things with them, from Stranger Things, which was Weirder Things. I like that one. Yes, that one I really, really like. So I got a chance to go on your website, too. I told you, man, I'm a fan.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, man. No problem. It. So what inspired the crew specifically?
Okay, so the crew was inspired because all these cartoons that I loved, they never interacted with each other. So I was like, you know what? I was like, what would these cartoons be like if they were like real people, right? Like if they were just going to their jobs, working, and then they started chilling outside of work, you know? So I was like, you know, I think such and such would hang out with each other. I think so and so would hang out. I was like, all of these cartoons would have a vibe. So I was like, why don't I put these cartoons together? And what's crazy about the crew is there's an actual backstory that I'm putting together, right? Yeah, that I hadn't even unloaded yet. But what I'm doing right now is just kind of setting everybody up with a lot of the shows and stuff and incorporating them. But I have a little backstory with the crew.
Okay, so it's gonna be like a whole saga with it.
Yeah, it's gonna be a
Okay,
little thing. It's gonna be a little thing, you know?
I like that because I mean, you see him at school, then you got the one where Skeeter's in there too, where they're at the crib and they're just chilling on the stoop.
That's just chilling.
Yeah, so I kind of like that. I'm actually kind of hyped. Don't you got me
Yes,
hyped now? I want, you know.
it's gonna be kind of dope, and you know, we'll see what comes out of it. But you know, I would love, and I always thought, I was like, well, how come, you know, they don't put these characters together? But I know these big studios and stuff don't want to, you know, align certain characters together, the money, all this other issues. So I said, you know what, you know, we have a big enough network around this to where we can possibly get stuff like this done without, you know, huge studios and things of that nature. You know what I'm
Yeah,
saying?
and
So
this day and age, we definitely have the resources for sure. You don't really need like a really big studio, and then you can
no.
grow from the ground up by yourself or with like a small crew. See, I
Right,
did that.
exactly. I like
So, yeah, man.
that.
So I definitely like the idea that you've taken because it shows the initiative and it shows the love of your work and what you truly believe in as an artist and within yourself. So you'll definitely be able to expand as much as you really want to because you know you don't really need the big execs to give you the okay nowadays.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, having that in the back of my head, and you know, I've obviously I want to pull people along, you know, and get a nice little, you know, dope team, you know. So yeah, it's gonna be dope.
I feel it, man. Well, let me ask this though, because I know we talked about some of the inspirations outside of yourself as far as like the music, childhood memories and everything like that. Do you have anybody within your circle who kind of inspired you to kind of go this route as well?
Oh man, yeah. So I have a buddy of mine named Joe, and you know, he's been really inspirational. I have another buddy, Andy, and you know, my parents have always been backing me. You know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, I probably got born into the best like mom and dad like I could have ever had. Like, honestly, you know, and they're still together, like, bless their souls, which doesn't happen a lot. So I was always shown a really strong, good example, which I'm lucky because I know a lot of people don't have that image. But you know, I was shown a really strong image, you know. So yeah.
Okay. So the family unit comes together with also good friends. So you pretty much have a very, very strong foundation outside of
Exactly.
just the art, but really be able to just push forward in anything that you want to do with the right type of support.
Yeah, definitely,
Awesome,
man.
man. Awesome. See, bring that positive
You know,
energy on
my
here, man.
mom is in the AKA my dad's an alpha, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Oh, yeah.
we just have a really strong knit family, you know what I'm saying? And we have a lot of smart people in my family, a lot of doctors, a lot of lawyers. My nephew works for Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle
Oh,
Union.
nice,
Yeah,
nice,
like we
nice.
just it's you know, I get inspiration from a lot, but I really get inspiration from my family.
Well, this is super cool too, because when you really think about your position versus, you know, what your family's doing, you kind of going against the grain a bit,
I
going the
am.
artist route. And for them to
I
be that
am.
support is supportive is super cool. But I'm sure
It
you had that
is.
question, like, so I
Oh God,
mean,
yeah.
what does it look like? How are you
Yeah.
making anything from it? What's good?
Yeah.
You know.
I get that. I still get that. You know, like they're like, you know, what is this? And it's like you got to see the deeper and the longer picture. Like it's not like I don't get gratification, honestly, from money and things of that nature. I get gratification from the process, from, you know, just from the production side of it, from grinding every single day. Like that's what like keeps me going. You know what I'm saying? And the completion of stories that aren't necessarily being told.
Sure, man. Man, that's raw, bro. And it's and definitely speaking of raw, your name. So, yeah. So, give me the backstory on how you pretty much created this persona as Raw.
Well, I wish I could take it all on my own, but I can't. Okay, so my friend Andy, I was telling you about, he actually helped me come up with the name. He was like, "Man, you
Nice.
need to." He's like, "Man, you need to incorporate like your name somehow." And I was like, "Yeah, man, I'm not trying to do Will, I'm not trying to." And my middle name, which is Renardo, I actually hated my middle name.
Really?
Yes, I did, because they used to call me Retardo, and like they the way they used or Leonardo, like the ninja,
Wow.
the sixth Ninja Turtle and stuff like that. So
Okay.
yeah, I was like, I don't want to be known,
Yeah.
with my middle name. So for the longest time, I would not tell people my middle name. Like, I really didn't. And he was like, "Man, you need to put your name in there." I was like, "Well, what about Renardo?" He was like, "Okay, Renardo Artworks, right?" So, and it's raw, because I'm raw with my art as well. So it was like a perfect marriage.
Oh
So that's how I
man.
came up with it.
Bro, you got all this holy matrimony in your art, your name and everything, your
I
parents,
know.
they're together
It's
everywhere. It's a full marriage.
man, it's a perfect blend, man. Like, I
Yeah.
couldn't ask for anything else, man.
That's a bit of poetic justice because you basically taking something that you I won't I would say despise is a rough word, but did not like very
I
much.
didn't like
Yeah, and then
at all.
you basically made it a tool for people to really know you in the way that you wanted to want them to know you. It's super cool. I like how you kind of took the reins on that.
I appreciate it. I
Yeah,
appreciate it,
man.
man.
Now, were you a little nervous about putting your name in that way to see if people would definitely take you for the artist that you feel that you are?
I was, but I always knew I needed something like to, I guess, be in front,
Sure.
right?
Sure.
Because I never wanted to really expose myself. Like, like if you even go on my page, like, I don't put any pictures of me, and my Facebook, I don't put any pictures of me. I just like my art to kind of speak for itself. So I'm more of like behind the scenes. I'm really behind the scenes. Like I said, this is my first podcast. It's because I'm in a cocoon. Like, I
Yeah.
get in my zone, and I feel like this is my creative space. And usually, a lot of creative people stay in that space by themselves, so it's hard to kind of, pivot out of that. But
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think it's kind of like a give and a take because for the longest, I didn't have my photo out there either. I'm not a big person to be like, oh yeah, take my photo. I'm just not that person. But yeah, I'm always behind the camera, so it's fine on that end. But my homeboy, shout out to my homie Josh, he kind of like talked me into it because he was like, people really need to know the face of your brand. So, if you want to start making moves, let's go ahead and do it. So I had like a home studio set up at the time, and he basically took my camera and he took photos of me and started working on them and edited them up for me. And now when I
That's
message
dope.
you, that's the face that you see.
That's
You
dope.
know what I
That's
mean?
dope. I
So
love
you're not
that, bro.
necessarily meeting a stranger. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I love that, though, man.
Yeah, man. But I mean, I do get at the same time that you really want your art to speak for itself. And then you, by you being able to do like this podcast or lives or anything else, people can kind of like have that mystery. And then by the time it's time to show your face, people are like, oh, snap, Renato's about to show his face. Let me go ahead and see what's happening. And this is what he looks like. This is the art that he does. That's the backdrop that he has with the Dragon Ball and all that. That's just cool, you know?
Definitely,
Yeah.
man.
So
Definitely.
yeah, so I can see you building the hype around, your identity. Now,
Strategical.
yeah, I will say though, I was a little frustrated because I was like, let me go to his website, let me go to like what it's about, because I didn't. Now, this is my first time seeing you, so I went on and I was like, oh, it's more artwork. That's cool. That actually is really dope. But where's he at? But I guess I gotta keep. I gotta get hype.
Hey, that's what
I
it is, man.
No, it's all good, man. Like I said, I understand the vision. So let me ask this. You talked about building the brand with the homie and getting the name. When starting, you said that you started using real subjects before you went into nostalgia. when it came to developing that style, how do you feel like you really built yourself up to get here? Kind of break down your growth from then to now.
I had to do a lot of research. I had to do a lot of soul searching. I had to almost learn to redraw. You know what I'm saying? Like, because when you're young and you're just loving it, you're just doing it. But there were a lot of technical aspects that I had, you know, overlooked.
Yeah.
Right. And I also had to make a pivot into from traditional to digital. So that was a huge adjustment because, you know, for the longest time, I looked at digital artists like, oh, man, y'all ain't even like y'all having, you know, the computer helping y'all do what y'all doing and this, that and the other. And I I felt like they were cheating, like, for the longest time. So I was I really stayed with my traditional work for probably longer than I needed to. But once I got into the digital space, I found out how hard it is and how it's the same. The only difference is just the tools. Yeah. It's the same thing. So I garnished a lot of respect for it. But I definitely had to look to certain artists that I used to love, like Richard Williams, which he did Roger Rabbit.
Right? Oh, okay. Yeah.
He animated Roger Rabbit, and also Aaron Magruder. Obviously, Boondocks was a huge influence for me.
Yeah.
So I had to, like, really delve deep into, like, how they did things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also got into, like, shapes and, you know, just anatomy and the backgrounds. I just had to, like, dive deep in.
Yeah, I can imagine, though, because on the other side of that, I remember getting started in photography. First, it was like a really big secret. Nobody didn't want to share their secrets. This is before YouTube had everything.
Yes.
And then people like judge you if you use presets.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get older and I realize presets save a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
same thing as references. I was like, no, I can't draw. I can't look at stuff and then, like, use references and use that. I was like, it has to come all out of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so, like you're saying, like, there's certain things that you pick up on that people kind of held tight and didn't really expose. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you realize that you pigeonhole yourself when you, like when you keep yourself in that one kind of lane. Like you said, about going traditional to digital. I can imagine that both are tough because I can't draw. I wish I could draw Quellman and Silver Skeeter and everybody Doug did.
Oh,
but it was more or less like I love like the act of drawing and different things like that, but I just didn't really have the skill set for it. But I could only imagine going traditional, learning that route, perfecting it as much as possible, and then going to a digital screen and then having to pretty much do it all over again, like you said.
It's different, man.
Yeah, but I mean, now you got two skill sets, you know, if you look at it from that perspective, like you're just constantly growing as an artist. And you definitely reached over that hump. So now whatever else comes to you, you can adapt to it.
Yeah, definitely.
You're a little more comfortable.
Yeah, definitely.
So I want to ask, when it comes to the type of art that you do, if you had to choose a favorite type of style, what would it be and why?
Let's see. I guess more of the Boondocks style.
Yeah. Okay.
And the reason that influences me, it has a little edge to it. Just by the line work, and just by the shape, like language, you see in like Magruder's work, like the shape angles like really stand out, and the shapes like really define the characters and stuff.
This is true.
And I always liked how he drew with an edge and he wrote with an edge, you know? So, that's probably who I characterize my work with the most.
I can see that because I know you use Hugh and Riley here and there, but with your style, you do other characters that you do resemble that style from the show. You just use you bring out a lot of saturation out of it, though. So it definitely builds more contrast and shadows to really make your art pop really, really well.
Yes.
So I can definitely see that inspiration within your work and then how you put your own taste on it, or your own twist.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, so for the longest time, I was like, oh my, all right, how am I going to get this art style, right? So I was like, what do I need to do? But I found out that it's just, you pick from the people that, you know, give you confidence and you look up to. And then eventually, all of those styles, like, marry with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts to create its own style, you know. And then I got into a style of how I color, right? Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people do line art like I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the coloring and the shadows and the shading, and now my backgrounds are kind of what helped set my work apart.
I feel you. It does. And what you also set yourself apart as well with the process.
Yes.
So within looking through your older up into your newer work, you used to, you would definitely like draw out your process. Like, you know, you would speed it up and show us. What inspired you to kind of like let us in on the process?
Well, the Raw, the name Raw also, but I wanted to kind of give a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I wasn't showing like my face and stuff like that, I was like, well, let me at least let them in on how I do my process.
Yeah.
You know, because I was like, it doesn't seem too different to me, but I was like, maybe people will be interested in how I go about, you know, my process and how long it actually takes and how I kind of try to build on one thing and then, you know, lead to the other. And you can be sloppy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can be loose. You can be sloppy. You know what I'm saying? But it's the process. You just keep building upon, building upon, building. And that's what gives you that structure. So it don't always start out, you know, it don't always start out pretty.
Yeah.
You know.
I think the only person who did that was Bob Ross. Yes. And even then, we didn't get to see the takes before the actual recording.
No, we didn't. I mean? And I loved Bob Ross. I watched Bob Ross, too. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, take the paintbrush, and then he dips in, and he just beats the devil out of it.
Yeah, and he like, has that such soft voice and stuff, and, you know, pretty clouds, and just, man, you a little swag, you know?
Right, man. He just made you feel safe.
Yeah, man.
He made you feel safe.
He just had a really nice vibe. Just very comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
And then it made you feel like you could draw it. You know, anything that he did, because he'll teach you.
He started making it seem so easy.
Yeah.
When I tried to do it, I was like, yo, bro, you that easy?
Right.
This ain't easy.
My fro ain't as perfect as yours.
Yes.
And my mountains ain't as perfect as yours.
Man, you know, he probably had an amazing hairstylist.
Oh, had to, bro, because it was on point every time.
Perfect.
Man, let me not delve into Bob Ross right now, bro, because we can go through on a whole tangent of how positive his artwork
was.
So let me ask, when it comes to Raw and the movement, what is your ultimate goal when it comes to presenting what you truly represent as an artist? What is the goal for Raw?
The goal for Raw is I want to create a space for my culture, you know, young black men and women, and just diverse people.
Yeah.
Right. And I want to create a animation studio to where, you know, we can really tell the stories how we truly see the stories and not have anybody tell them for us. Because I feel like the art world, as far as cartoons, we don't have enough representation and people really telling our story from our point of view. So that's what I truly plan on doing.
I love that, man. Because, I mean, just nowadays with the Boondocks being off and other shows that we don't have anymore, I mean, even this show is not really running, but the only show I can think of is Craig or the Creek.
Right.
You know, that could really show, like, representation of a black family, the black protagonist.
Yeah.
You
That's
know
terrible.
I mean,
I mean, we need so much more representation, because I feel like it's our duty to show the younger generation that we do have power, and that we can make a change through our creativity and our God-given talents.
Oh, man, for sure. It's very important to be able to show that, have the confidence and the faith to show it, so that way the people who are coming up behind us or even with us can also be inspired to spread the same message, because it's only growth that could happen in a positive way.
Exactly.
So,
well,
let me ask this, though, because I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit.
Okay.
We haven't talked about it. I want to kind of keep it in the chamber.
Yeah.
Your collabs. So you had a small collab with Wu-Tang, you know, being able to share your work, but you also had a pretty big collab with Omarion. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. All right, so it's funny how that worked. Okay, so I've been doing, I found like a little trick. I was like, you know what? Since I got Wu-Tang's attention, I was like, let me like, this is how I'm gonna try to reach out to people, right? This is how I'm gonna promote myself, right? So I'm going to draw people, celebrities, or whoever, right? And I'm gonna tag them and just see if they bite. So there was this dance that Omarion was doing. It was going viral on the internet. He was sticking his hand down, and he was doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
it was going viral.
Yeah.
Right? That little pop.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. And my niece, I have to give her credit. She was like, Uncle Will, she was like, why don't you do that pose that Omarion did? Tag him in it. I was like, alright, you know, I'll do that pose. So I did the pose, not thinking anything, right? And I tagged Omarion in it, right? I ain't getting no, like, I think a day or two went by.
Yeah.
You know, and it was making some moves, but wasn't really doing anything. And I was like, well, okay, well, I guess that just didn't work. And then I got a DM from Michelle LaFleur.
Okay.
Which is, you know, she was ahead of the entire concert and, you know. So, and Omarion, right? Like, she runs his whole thing. So, at first, when I got the DM, I didn't think it was her. You know what I'm saying? I was like, no, it's not really her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And she was like, let me get your number. You know, maybe we can talk. I really like this picture that you did. And I was like, okay. So I was like, yo, let's just send this person my number and see what happens. About 30 seconds later to a minute later, she called. And she was like, look, I really like your work. And, you know, O is coming out with an album, you know, and you possibly could be, you know, someone that might be able to do it. But she set it up to where it was more like an audition.
Okay.
Because at first she was like, do you really draw? Right? Like, she was like, or do you trace things? And, you know, or you got an AI doing it? Or do you really draw? And I was like, no, I really do this. And she was like, okay, we're going to see. Right? So, you know, so she was like, look, she's a pit bull. She was like, we got this amount of time. And, you know, you can collab with Omarion and Sony if, you know, we like your work and da-da-da-da-da-da.
Of course.
And it went on from there. And, I got floor tickets to Millennium Tour. And,
nice.
And got, you know, and to this day, me and Michelle, we still have a really strong, deep connection. I'm still with the Omarion crew, you know what I'm saying? So I'm almost like that built-in illustrator, right? So... Yeah, so we're going to see some more projects come along
Well. This dude here.
Yeah, yeah. And I got another project coming out, so, yeah.
After this point, I may need to hire you. I'm going to save up some change.
yeah, I got
before it's too late.
Man. So yeah. 2023 is going to be pretty dope.
Oh yeah, man. It sounds like it's going to be a year, and then 2024, 2025, oh, yeah. you're definitely building a legacy the right way. I definitely appreciate you even taking that time to even just share that experience, man. You have a gift that very little people have. And what I mean by that is you are able to really be your true authentic self in your art. And that's not to shun anybody else away in reaching that level, but it takes so much confidence and vulnerability to do that.
It does.
So from having your real subjects to having music subjects to having the right type of people see your work to be able to be inspiring from afar, because you definitely inspired me in a way to be crazy. Able to have that conversation with you, or this conversation with you, man.
Thank you.
From building and building and building to bring us back to our good old days back in the day for the people who know and the younger ones who are experienced to even building your brand and family with Amorion and his crew, bro. When I tell you, I am proud of you and I appreciate you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much, man. You know, it's honestly people like you that honestly give me that extra boost to continue to do what I do.
Oh, man.
Like, for real.
Nah, for sure, man. We got it. It's my homegirl Sloan said, man, it's community over competition, bro. So we got to make sure we keep building each other up so we can all win. There's a place for us all.
It is. Definitely is.
Man, that was such a treat talking to you, man. Let me ask one other question before we close out.
Okay.
What's the next step? I know you talked about a lot of next steps, but what is like that next step for Raw?
Well, the next step for Raw, I want to do some more events to where I actually get out there physically.
Okay.
So the next steps will be me showcasing my work publicly.
Nice.
And going to some events, being at some functions. Mm-hmm. I'll be showcasing my work so people can kind of meet and greet.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of see me as the person in my flesh.
Yeah.
Right. With my physical art and stuff. That's going to be the next step.
Well, man, I'm definitely loving it, bro. If I can ever make it up there, if you ever get down to Atlanta and you're showing it, man, I'm definitely going to be up there, man, supporting you in person.
I got a close homeboy that lives in Atlanta, and he been telling me to come on in, and I'm coming, so I'll be in Atlanta. Yeah.
Definitely hit me up and let me know, bro, and I'll keep my ear to the ground, man. Until then, everybody, this has been another dope episode of Creative Conversations. Thank you so much for enjoying the conversation with me and my homie Raw. If you want, well, you should go ahead and get on Apple Podcasts and get on Spotify and hit that follow button and also hit that 5-star so we can grow up in this algorithm so more people can hear these positive conversations. Until next time, thank you again, Raw, for coming on. You guys take care, be safe, and always be creative. Peace.